Imagine a chat app where messages appear instantly, a stock ticker that updates the millisecond, and a multiplayer game that feels as responsive as a console, all powered by a single persistent connection. By the end of this lecture, you'll understand why WebSockets make that possible, the technical and operational hurdles they introduce, and how to turn those challenges into competitive advantages for both web and mobile platforms. Now that we see why WebSockets matter, let's dig into the core technical challenges that arise when you demand low latency and reliable delivery over that persistent pipe. In the early days of web apps, developers relied on polling, where the browser would send an HTTP request every few seconds just to ask, "Do you have any new data?" That pattern introduced a round-trip latency that could be as high as 1 to 2 seconds, and the server had to process thousands of identical requests, even when there was nothing to send. Long polling improved matters by keeping the request open until new data arrived, but it still required a new HTTP handshake for each poll, consuming extra CPU cycles and keeping server connections occupied, which made scaling costly for chat apps and stock tickers. The breakthrough came in 2011 with the WebSocket protocol, formalized in RFC 6455, which upgrades an ordinary HTTP connection to a persistent full duplex TCP stream. During the upgrade handshake, the client sends a special upgrade WebSocket header, and the server responds with a 101 switching protocol's response, effectively turning the connection into a low overhead channel that can push data at any moment. Because the pipe is bidirectional, the client can send a message and receive a response in the same frame, eliminating the need for separate request response cycles and slashing response times to the order of tens of milliseconds. Early adopters like Slack in 2013 and the online gaming platform League of Legends demonstrated the business value of sub-second updates, showing users instant message delivery and live game state synchronization that would have been impossible with traditional polling. This shift from repetitive HTTP calls to a continuously open socket not only reduced server load, but also unlocked new interaction patterns. Think collaborative editing in Google Docs, live sports scores, and IoT dashboards that need to reflect sensor changes instantly. However, persisting connections introduces its own set of challenges, such as managing connection life cycles, handling network interruptions, and ensuring message ordering, which we will explore in depth in the next part of the lecture. With reliability addressed, the next frontier is securing those long-lived connections against a growing threat landscape. But before we even think about encryption, we have to confront the quirks that TCP throws at us when it powers WebSocket frames. TCP guarantees that every byte arrives, yet it does not promise that the application will see messages in the order they were sent, especially when packet loss triggers retransmission and the network introduces jitter. Imagine a multiplayer game where a player's position update arrives after the next two updates. The visual jitter can ruin the experience even though the data is technically intact. To keep the pipe alive, both client and server regularly exchange ping-pong frames. If a keep-alive fails, the connection is considered dead, and the application must decide whether to reconnect or fail gracefully. Another hidden danger is back pressure. A sudden surge of sensor data from a mobile device can fill the server's inbound buffer, leading to memory bloat and eventual crashes if the server cannot signal the client to slow down. Developers typically embed a monotonically increasing sequence number in each payload, allowing the receiver to reorder out-of-sequence packets and to detect gaps that indicate loss. Idempotent messaging design, where repeating a message produces the same effect, makes reconnection logic safer because a dropped frame can be resent without corrupting state. Finally, robust reconnection strategies combine exponential backoff with state resynchronization, ensuring that after a network hiccup, the client can pick up where it left off without flooding the server. By mastering latency, reliability, and ordering together, we lay a solid foundation before we move on to the security challenges that loom on the horizon. Security reinforced, we now confront the operational reality of scaling millions of concurrent sockets. First, let's talk about transport encryption. Using TLS, the WS scheme, we wrap every WebSocket frame in the same strong cryptography that protects HTTPS, which means an eavesdropper can't sniff messages even if they tap the network backbone. Where you terminate TLS matters, a load balancer at the edge, a reverse proxy, or the application server itself defines your trust boundary. And you must ensure the private keys are stored in hardware security modules to prevent compromise. Authentication, on the other hand, can't rely on a single long-lived session token. Instead, we issue short-lived JOTS or OAuth access tokens that expire in minutes and are rotated automatically, so if a token is captured, it quickly becomes useless. Once the socket is established, the server must still enforce authorization on every inbound message, because a client could reuse a valid connection to request resources it's no longer permitted to see. For example, a chat app should check the user's room membership each time it receives a join or send command, rather than assuming the check at connection time is sufficient. To keep the system robust, we layer rate limiting and connection quotas per user and per IP, which thwarts denial of service attacks and prevents a single compromised client from flooding the channel. Anomaly detection pipelines that flag sudden spikes in message size or frequency can trigger automated throttling or disconnects before the problem escalates. Together, encryption, prudent token life cycles, per-message access checks, and proactive limits form a defense-in-depth posture that protects data at rest and in motion. With those safeguards in place, the next challenge is how to scale those secure, message-rich connections to millions of users without breaking a sweat. Scaling at the data center level is only part of the story. Mobile environments impose their own constraints. When you hand a WebSocket to a load balancer, you have to decide how that long-lived connection stays attached to the same backend, which is where sticky sessions come in. A client that opens a chat channel in a gaming app must keep talking to the same server process. Otherwise, you lose context and have to re-authenticate. One common technique is hash-based routing. The balancer computes a hash of the user ID, or a token, and consistently maps it to a particular server, spreading the load evenly while preserving affinity. At the network layer, a layer 4 proxy like HeyProxy simply forwards the raw TCP stream, which is fast but blind to the WebSocket sub-protocols, whereas a layer 7 reverse proxy such as Nginx can inspect the upgrade header, the SEC WebSocket protocol value, and even route based on the application's topic, giving you finer-grained control. To truly scale horizontally, you often externalize volatile state user presence, subscription lists, or chat room membership into a shared data store like Redis or a purpose-built presence service, so any server can pick up a connection without needing local memory of who is online. By decoupling state, you can spin up additional instances on demand, and the load balancer will start distributing new sockets to those fresh nodes without interruption. Monitoring becomes essential. You track sockets per server, CPU, and memory consumed per connection, and network I/O, because a single WebSocket can chew through bandwidth with high-frequency messages, and you need to know when a node is approaching its capacity. In practice, a 2022 deployment at a major social platform showed that keeping the sockets per core ratio under 1,200 kept latency below 50 milliseconds, while crossing that threshold caused GC pauses and a noticeable dip in user experience. With these techniques in place, the architecture is ready to handle the massive bursty traffic you see when a popular live event goes viral, and we can now turn our attention back to the mobile edge, where latency, battery, and intermittent connectivity add another layer of complexity. Having accounted for mobile quirks, developers must also navigate the differences between browser and native APIs. When a user moves from Wi-Fi to a 4G or 5G cell tower, the underlying TCP session behind the WebSocket can be torn down, causing an abrupt drop that looks like a silent disconnection to the app. To survive that, you need a reconnection strategy that backs off exponentially, starting with a quick retry and then spacing out attempts to avoid hammering the network, just as the Netflix client does when streaming over spotty LTE. On iOS, the system will suspend any socket that remains idle in the background. After roughly 5 minutes, throttling the process to preserve battery and privacy, which means a pure browser WebSocket will silently stop delivering messages once the app is not in the foreground. Android's doze mode goes even further. After the device has been idle for a few hours, network access is batched, and network sockets are paused, so a push-style WebSocket will miss heartbeats, unless the developer opts into a high-priority foreground service. Native wrappers, however, can tap into the platform's own socket APIs and request keep-alive flags that browsers cannot, letting the connection linger longer while still respecting the OS's power policies. The practical pattern is to adjust the ping interval dynamically. Shorter pings when the app is active to keep latency low, and longer intervals or even quiet mode when the app is backgrounded to conserve battery. The trade-off is evident. Aggressive pinging keeps the user experience snappy, but drains the battery, while too lax a schedule can cause the server to deem the client dead and close the socket. By measuring battery draw and network churn on real devices, you can calibrate a sweet spot that preserves responsiveness without sacrificing the phone's endurance. In the next part, we'll compare the constraints we've just explored with the broader differences between what browsers expose and what native SDKs can do, and see how those gaps shape the architecture of your WebSocket solution. With compatibility clarified, let's look at the tooling and practices that make building robust WebSocket systems easier. In a typical web page, the JavaScript WebSocket object gives you a clean, event-driven model. You attach OTAPIN, OnMessage, Ownerer, and OnClose handlers, and the browser handles the low-level TCP details for you. That simplicity is powerful, but it also means you have limited control over things like automatic reconnection or socket buffer sizes, which can become a bottleneck when you're streaming high-resolution video from a server to a browser in 2023. By contrast, native SDKs for iOS, Android, or React Native expose granular options. You can tweak the receive buffer, enforce TLS certificate pinning, or set a custom keep alive interval to keep the connection alive through aggressive mobile power saving modes. When you need to send binary data, browsers typically require you to wrap an array buffer or blob, and the serialization cost can be noticeable on low-end devices. Native code can work directly with byte buffer or NS data, avoiding that extra copy and allowing you to stream audio frames with sub-millisecond latency. Another practical difference is the maximum frame size. Most browsers cap a WebSocket frame at around 64 kilobytes, so a large JSON payload must be split, whereas native libraries often let you raise that limit to several megabytes, preventing truncation errors in enterprise messaging apps. Developers have learned to detect these limits at runtime. For instance, checking the max message size property in the Android OKHTP WebSocket client and falling back to chunked uploads when the threshold is exceeded. The net effect is that a cross-platform project must abstract these nuances behind a shared interface. Otherwise, you'll see buds appear only on iOS or only on Chrome. Through practice, many teams adopt a hybrid approach. They start with the browser API for quick prototypes, then migrate performance-critical paths to native SDKs, using feature flags to switch based on device capabilities. This mirrors the scaling challenges we discussed in Section 4, where long-lived connections must survive both data center load balancers and volatile cellular networks. By being aware of these API differences now, you'll be ready to choose the right reconnection strategy and buffer management as we move into the next topic, testing and observability techniques that keep your WebSocket services reliable in the wild. Beyond tools, emerging transport protocols promise to address some of the limitations we've discussed. The first step toward reliable real-time communication is to pick a high-level library that does the heavy lifting for you, such as socket.io, SignalR, or the newer reconnect.js. These frameworks automatically add reconnection logic, fall back to long polling when a WebSocket cannot be opened, and even multiplex several logical channels over a single socket. But they also hide the raw protocol details, which can make debugging a misbehaving payload more difficult. To keep the opacity in check, you should define strict message contracts up front, using technologies like protocol buffers or JSON schema, so that the TypeScript compiler or a runtime validator will flag version drift before a mismatched message ever reaches the wire. Automated tests need to go beyond happy path unit tests. They should spin up a mock server, inject packet loss, simulate latency spikes of 200 milliseconds, and deliberately close connections to verify that your reconnection loops handle backoff correctly, much like the chaos testing done at Netflix with its Simian army. Instrument each connection with Prometheus counters that track open sockets, messages sent, and errors, and emit open telemetry spans that show the end-to-end latency from client emit to server processing. Centralized logging platforms such as ElasticStack or Loki can then correlate client-side reconnect events with server-side handshake failures, giving you a single pane of glass to spot patterns like a sudden surge and socket closed unexpectedly, errors after a firmware update. When you combine contract validation, robust failure simulation, and observability metrics, you turn the fragile art of WebSocket programming into a disciplined engineering practice that scales from a single-page app to a mobile game with millions of concurrent players. In the next section, we'll explore how emergent transport protocols like HTTP, 3Quick, and WebTransport aim to eliminate many of the connection stability woes we've been hardworking to mitigate. All these technical possibilities translate into concrete business value, which we'll explore next. One of the most exciting developments is WebTransport, a newer API that rides on top of the Quick protocol. Quick, originally designed by Google in 2012 and now standardized by the IETF, replaces TCP with UDP, giving us lower latency, built-in TLS encryption, and native support for multiplex streams without the head-of-line blocking that can plague WebSocket over TCP. With WebTransport, you can choose between reliable streams, which act like traditional WebSocket messages, or unreliable streams that are ideal for real-time telemetry, such as live sensor feeds, or occasional packet loss is acceptable, but speed is critical. This flexibility goes beyond the binary or text frames of WebSocket, and lets developers fine-tune the trade-off between reliability and latency on a per-use-case basis. On the other side, server-sent events, or SSE, offers a much simpler, one-directional push model that works over standard HTTP 2 connections. Because it leverages the existing HTTP stack, SSE is instantly compatible with most corporate firewalls and proxies, and you can stream JSON updates to a dashboard with just a few lines of JavaScript, making it a low-maintenance choice for real-time notifications, stock tickers, or chat presence indicators. While SSE doesn't support full duplex communication, you can pair it with a short-lived POST for client-to-server messages, creating a hybrid that satisfies many common app patterns. The practical strategy many firms are adopting is to combine these protocols. Use web transport or QUIC for high-frequency, low-latency data like multiplayer game state, fall back to WebSocket when the client or network only supports TCP, and switch to SSE for simple status streams when bandwidth is limited, or the client is a legacy browser. This graceful degradation ensures that users get the best possible experience regardless of device capabilities or network conditions, turning the technical complexity we discussed into a reliable revenue driver. The next part will tie these transport choices back to concrete business outcomes, looking at cost savings, performance ROI, and market differentiation. To turn these opportunities into reality, teams need a clear roadmap that balances ambition with operational maturity. Real-time collaboration features, like shared whiteboards or simultaneous document editing, have been shown to extend user sessions by as much as 30%, because the friction of waiting disappears and users stay engaged longer. When an e-commerce app pushes an instant push notification about a flash sale that expires in minutes, conversion rates can jump by 15 to 20%, as shoppers act on the urgency the low latency channel creates. Dynamic pricing is another goldmine. By feeding live inventory and demand signals into a WebSocket-driven pricing engine, retailers have lifted average order value by 10 to 12%, simply because customers see the most up-to-date deals before they disappear. Look at Robinhood's trading platform, which streams price ticks and order book depth in real time. The immediacy keeps traders on the app, driving higher trade volume and commission revenue. Sports fans using the ESPN Plus live scoreboard experience a richer, more immersive UI when scores and statistics update instantly, leading to longer view times and higher ad impressions. In the gaming world, titles like Fortnite rely on ultra-low latency WebSocket or web transport connections to synchronize player actions, a capability that directly translates into player retention and in-game purchase opportunities. These examples illustrate a common thread. The faster the data reaches the user, the more valuable the interaction becomes, opening up new monetization levers that static HTTP simply can't support. As we've discussed, emerging transport protocols and high-level libraries give us the technical foundation, but the real business payoff comes from designing experiences that exploit that speed. In the next part of our lecture, we'll lay out a step-by-step roadmap that helps product and engineering teams move from these promising ideas to production-ready, revenue-generating features. With this roadmap, developers and product leaders can confidently embark on building the next wave of real-time experiences. We start by delivering a thin MVP that simply opens a raw WebSocket, authenticates each client with a short-lived JWT, and runs on a single instance that can be duplicated when traffic spikes. Even a modest server on AWS EC2 or a container in GKE can handle a few thousand concurrent sockets, giving you fast feedback on latency and user churn. In phase two, we harden the perimeter. TLS terminates at the edge, tokens rotate every few minutes, and we introduce sticky session load balancing so that a user's connection stays on the same pod while still spreading traffic across a pool of instances, a pattern you'll see in Netflix's Zool or Cloudflare Workers. Phase 3 brings observability into the loop. We wire up a Prometheus exporter for connection counts, latency histograms and error rates, push logs to Elasticsearch, and run Chaos Monkey-style failure injection to verify auto-reconnect and graceful server shutdowns under real-world network jitter. By phase 4, we look beyond pure WebSockets. We evaluate server-sent events as a low-overhead fallback for browsers that can't sustain long WebSockets, and we prototype web transport over QUIC to reap lower latency for future features like live 4K video chat or collaborative AR scenes. Throughout the journey, we keep a continuous learning cadence, subscribing to the IETF WebSockets draft, watching the evolution of the web transport spec, and testing emerging edge cloud offerings from providers like Fastly or Fly.io to see if moving the socket termination closer to the user reduces round-trip time. The overarching action plan is simple. Launch an MVP, lock down security and scaling, add deep telemetry, then future-proof by exploring alternative transports and staying plugged into the standards community. Mastering this progression not only unlocks richer interactions that lift engagement metrics, think 30% higher session duration on a live sports scoreboard, but also builds a resilient foundation that scales with your product's revenue growth.